Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is truly heaven on earth when you are a priest. And let me say this for all of you out there. If you have tuned into the South Park After Show here on AfterBuzz TV for the very first time and don't understand that we will crack wise and some things we 95, if not 99% of the things we actually say, we don't actually mean, we're just playing characters, and then you, sir, or ma'am, are not smart.
Wait, have you guys been playing characters this whole time? Because I've just been me, like, since the first one. All right.
There you go.
I didn't get the memo.
That is the voice of Christian Blatt.
Hi there.
And Steph Sabraw.
What's up?
And I am Phil Svitek, and we are talking episode 2 of season 22, A Boy and His Priest, and we are playing a Heaven on Earth because, once again, when there's little boys, it is truly Heaven on Earth for every priest out there. All right.
Why stop at priest?
The point wasn't every priest.
Well, we'll get to that.
We've got. Why do priests get to have all the fun? We're on. Yikes.
We've got a lot to discuss in terms of the episode, but we will also bring it down to more seriousness where we will talk about kind of the real ramifications and kind of what they're poking fun at. And that's one of the true things about, like, South Park. The humor, if you can't have a humor about anything in life, then you can't really fix in life, and your life is really miserable. That's my take. So take anything we say or do with a grain of salt. Anyway, before we get into all of it, I just overall impressions for episode 2 of this season. What do we think?
Steph?
I thought there was a lot – this episode – I feel like it was the first time in a while where there was continuously a lot of hilarious one-liners and a lot of things I would repeat. Like, we were writing stuff down the entire time. I feel like it's been done before, but it was still funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought basically what Steph said, this was a good solid episode, but there were so many because everybody in the town is going to church in order to make jokes. They're all constantly trying to outdo each other, and not just when they're in church. You know, there was like when Stan's on the phone with Butter's dad, and then Butter's mom says something. Wait, what was that one? Oh, can I post that? Oh, yeah, she doesn't mind. You know, so just like constantly, like everybody, they're all in it for the jokes. And when Randy comes downstairs and the priest is there, you know, and he's like, wait, I gotta get this. Because so just the fact that everybody's in on all the jokes, it made, so many more opportunities for us to laugh during the episode. So this is kind of an all-timer for me. I would just rewatch it. If this one was on, 5 years from now, and I came in the middle, I'm like, oh, wait, there's going to be some of those devices that they had. Yeah. Some of those cleaning devices, let's say, that I'm like, I'm going to wait for that part.
Well, what's interesting is that it plays fresh, and yet going into this, you know, even seeing the promos, I was like, wait, we've been here before.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll talk about the tie back to the 2002 episode.
Red Hot Catholic Love.
That's right, indeed. So we'll definitely kind of recap that when we get to it. But I like how it stayed fresh, and the ramifications of that, you know, were pertinent to this episode. And in some sense, like, you would think that things would be better in real life, but they're not. But let's start with Stan, only because, very simply, his arm is in a sling, and we take this to mean that this is the aftermath of last week, which was no big deal. It was just a regular school shooting. and he got hurt.
The whole point was it was never a big deal. So the fact that he's in a sling, no one acknowledges it. There's no explanation. You just have to remember, oh, yeah, he got shot clearly in the arm. Clearly he's all right. We don't have to talk about it. You know, I mean, we as in everyone in South Park. Let's just, yeah, it's fine. So I thought that was actually kind of funny.
It is interesting. It makes me think, because we still don't know the exact reasoning behind Cancel South Park. And these two episodes are both really important issues. And both times, like, the town doesn't give a shit about it. And I'm wondering if it's going to be the theme of it, like exposing those types of things, as opposed to they're not doing topical things. Like, there are a lot of stuff happening in the news, but they're going away from that this week. So it's in, and last week. So it's interesting.
Is it? Well, okay. So let's kind of shift gears into that. Like, I would say it's fairly topical. Like, what they're poking fun at is Pennsylvania, which wasn't too long ago.
About a month ago, this report came out from the Archdiocese of, I don't know if it's Allegheny County, but it's somewhere specific. And, you know, the incidents that are described in there, it's like, you know, you've heard a lot of things in your life. You never heard anything like this before. You know, it's just horrific what you heard about it. So, yeah, obviously, if they were going to go for sort of a, not to marginalize it, but if they were going to go for more of like a flavor of the week, they would have done something with like Kavanaugh mm-hmm. hearings. But they're looking, I think, more, you know, big picture, long term. You know, they probably had these planned. I mean, the fact that we've gotten clips from the past two episodes posted on Twitter, you know, like days before the episode airs, means that they're further ahead than they are some weeks, you know? So I think that this is actually all fairly well planned out in advance. And they know, it's like, look, just because it's not in the news this week, it's kind of always in the news.
Yeah. But I think, I can't remember exactly, but when they came out with the 2002 episode, the Red Hot, I feel like that was a really quick turnaround from a case that was coming in the news.
Well, I mean, I think part of it is so as far as Pennsylvania, 1400 page document compiled over 2 years implicating 300 priests with over 1,000 minors across six states. That's a lot. And I mean, as far as 2002, again, like, my shocking kind of thing that I look at is that it happened so long ago, you would think it would have gotten better. It hasn't.
No, I mean, they're doing an episode about the same issue 16 years later because things are not any better. In fact, you're hearing more about it. And like I said, this report, it's just the worst, you know? I mean, just, you know, gang raping little boys, you know, telling a boy that he has to rinse his mouth with holy water after he, you know, orally pleases a priest, you know, I mean, just like all, and I'm not even going to say the worst one that I heard because it's too, we're trying to do a comedy show here. It's a little much. I feel like I've already, you know, sort of brought the show down, but, you know, it has to be in the news though. Because those headlines, you know, you couldn't not write about it. You're just like, yeah, these are just these terrible things. And, you know, I feel like South Park gets to what? It would be season 38. They'll probably be able to do another episode about it then, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that for me really worked that I absolutely love is Butters' innocence. Yeah. It just reminded me, Butters truly represents the innocence of a child and just pure goodness in a sense, because of course this is like the only way. When I first saw the little preview, and for those unfamiliar, like, just go on their Instagram or something like that, and you can see the clip that they chose.
Yeah, let me just, as a little public service, if you sign up with their Twitter account, they will directly tweet to you a link where you watch it. So like, I get those sent to me and from the South Park account on Twitter. So you'll always get a clip, I guess, for an episode this season.
Mm. Absolutely. And so, but in the logic of the show, of course, Father Maxey is not a bad priest. And that's what I love, is that now this is kind of the natural progression of it. If all of a sudden everyone turns on you, then yeah, who else do you have but little boys like Butters?
Yeah, and Butters is like one of the only like truly good people in the town of South Park. Arguably Stan, but you know, we've seen him, you know, he's had his moments, let's put it that way. And I guess the fact that Butters has Professor Chaos to sort of, which I love the little cameo of Professor Chaos, the fact that he has that to sort of act out his bad side, but Butters himself is just, he's in every way, he's like, oh, he's such a good person. He just means well. He just wants to help this priest and doesn't understand why anybody would think any of it's weird, you know?
Well, when Steph, you talk about kind of the inaction of the town, not only do the kids not understand why they're going to church, that to me was the funniest part. Like, why do we love it? And as far as the parents, they were like, we didn't understand it when we were your age either. But, you know, church is awesome.
Yeah, I know. I thought they were going with kind of what happens with a lot of churchgoers in general, where they're like, I don't know, I just feel better after, but they don't have a real reason. They're not genuinely religious. They're just like, they're not very practicing religious. So, I thought they were going to go that way. And I was actually, that was part of probably my favorite twist of the episode, that they were just there to just crap on the priest in the Catholic Church in general.
Yeah, when they were initially on their way to church and sort of the, you know, Stan was complaining about it, I immediately had the thought, The Simpsons did this better. They did it first. You know, there's a little callback for the show. But it was just like, you've seen that on a lot of shows. So the fact that they did something completely different, and to Phil's point, I love the idea that they're all just there for the jokes. You know, it's just like, even at the end of the episode, it's like, we're back. Nothing has changed.
Well, that's one of the things I loved is their commitment to it, right? It's not just watching it. The fact that they still have a watering hole to go to and drink and complain, but they can't make the jokes. It has to be
church. Yeah.
And it has to be improv.
Yeah.
It can't, you know, because it's in direct relationship to what's happening on stage with Father Maxie.
But we see also, I feel like it is when a priest is around, like when Father Maxie was in the house and they were just playing games and it instantly became a joke, and Randy was trying to put it on like his social media. He's like, wait, let me get a picture. And then when he's calling the Butters parents and they're still making jokes over the phone, like it's only funny when it's right in front of them.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And going back though, the connection, right? It's a boy and his priest. How did you guys feel about I found it absolutely amazing and hilarious that Butters thought he was a cool kid, but as far as him feeling left out and the fact that he connected with Father Maxie in that way, it was just pure brilliance.
There's an interesting point in the chat right now. Oliver Quinn says it's all meta about getting people angry. Instead of making jokes about shooting and priests, they're making jokes so people will get upset, and it's not working. The whole cancel South Park argument of the point of this episode and last episode,
that they're pushing the envelope on things that would try to actively get people that want to cancel. But to what Phil was saying about Butters, the idea that he thinks he used to be unpopular and now he is popular.
I love that. It's just part.
It's such a great throwaway line of like, why did you invite him to Game Night anyway? I didn't invite him. So like, that was his whole point. It's like, I'm popular now. I get invited to Game Night. No, you didn't. So, it's just a testament. Why Butters is one of my favorite characters is just because he's so content being Butters. You know, he's just like, I'm a great kid. I'm very popular. My friends like me. No, nobody likes you. But that's the best part of you, Butters.
He's like the only one who actually stays his age, and the rest of them have an adult mindset and they've lost their innocence. And he is the definition of the heart of a child, always.
Yeah,
100%. And that's why him bringing the priest. Like at first, it's yes, of course, it's just them at home, but then bringing him to Clyde's birthday party where there's nothing but little children, and the continued looks, the more that they went out, that they got. Which, by the way, I want to get your opinion on the song, the Gotta Have Faith song.
Oh, yeah. I hope that it's a single and then I can buy it on iTunes tomorrow when I get up. I'm going to look for it. It was very funny, and the fact that the van was playing it as well was a nice touch, actually. But when you're talking about Clyde's birthday party, the fact that he's the priest is out there, Father Maxie is roller skating, and he's like, "Oh no, I feel like everyone's staring at me," and then you just have these great looks from all the adults, like literally staring at him. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's roller skating. It's like, why are you at a kid's birthday party? I thought that was very nice.
Poor Clyde and his birthday.
I know. What a bad birthday.
Well, this also brings Father Maxie to his low point, which goes back to, we've been hinting at it, but Red Hot Catholic Love. So a 2002 episode back when the Boston Globe sort of exposed everything. Well, not everything, apparently.
Yeah.
But it initially exposed a lot of these things. They commented on it and through this episode, and they hinted at it tonight, but... who feels confident enough to give a recap of that episode?
Oh, of Red Hot Catholic Love?
We can all try.
We can all try. Why don't you go first, Phil?
Well, okay, as a subplot, I'm just going to start it here.
Yeah, sure.
As a subplot, Cartman wanted to prove that if you eat through your asshole, you can poop out your mouth. And the end of the episode... ties this aspect together so well, because then they started having faith and finally were able to eat, meaning all like the world had faith again in God, and so they could eat through their mouth and shit through their asshole.
Okay, yes. That was the B plot. Yes. The main plot was Priest Maxie was the only one trying to fight the injustices, or at the time he went to the Vatican, I'm pretty sure, to raise this issue.
Yes.
And then it was kind of thrown in his face.
Well, yeah, because he kept saying like, "Oh, well, I don't rape little boys," and the whole church was like, "No, we get it. You don't rape little boys, but it's okay. You're among your own kind. You can be open." Yeah. He's like, "No, but I don't rape little boys."
And back then, the parents are concerned because there's a young men's Catholic retreat, and they don't want the kids to go. Now they would be like, "Oh my God, we're gonna get such good jokes. You have to go. Yeah. Can you take some selfies for Daddy?" That was Randy, in case you were wondering who I was pretending to be there.
And all in all, like, what that episode really showed was the. A, the hypocrisy, and B, just the stringentness of sort of religion, where everything had to be by the books, and that, like, in order to change the book, he had to, like, fight a giant spider. And it's like, okay, this is just ridiculous. If we want to change something about religion, religion is meant to bring people together and highlight the good of humanity, not about, like, touching little boys and everything else.
Yeah.
So that was the main message of the episode.
Yeah, and a key point in that episode is that the other priests, when after Priest Maxie goes to the Vatican, the other priests claim the holy document of Vatican law does not prohibit the behavior, so it's okay. It doesn't say we can't, so obviously it's okay to do it, and that's what Father Maxie's trying to change throughout the course of that episode. And then, of course, these problems manifest themselves in this episode.
Yeah, so, you know, the turning point for him is that he feels responsible, even though he didn't participate, he is responsible for not having done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But before we get to the resolution, let's talk about, I don't know, a punny thing, the resolution with the Cumboni.
Well, you do have to talk about the Cumbie before you talk about the Cumboni.
That's right.
The Cumbie is the sort of, it's like, think of it more like the dustbuster, the Cumbuster. And it's just going to, you know, help you clean up when there's just little bits around.
What's the exact line? I want one of you
please.
Yeah, but you let me find it.
But all the whole scene before the resolution, we have to talk about the van. That scene is so funny and well done, because it's like every parent's nightmare is to have a white van pull up, men in the car waiting for your child to be taken, and then just easily convinced.
And to Butters, do you like Three Musketeers? No.
Do you want a rabbit?
Well, no. Before that is, do you want to go camping? And like, no, because like, what kid wants to go camping in 2018? And he's like, do you like rabbits? Oh yeah. Because there you go, Butters. He'll get in anything if he can get a rabbit. So the line in question was when we get the cleaner crew for the Archdiocese of Denver. Don't worry, Your Holiness. By the time we're done with that town, there won't be a lick of cum anywhere.
Now, Tony, who is our engineer in the booth, Tony, that's how clean this place should be.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And heard you loud and clear.
Okay.
And remember, Tony, police can detect even a milligram of cum or rectal blood. Also a quote from the episode.
I just realized what I said. That's horrible.
And actually, I'm looking at Steph's cup right now, and it's either blood and cum or ketchup and mayo. I can't tell which one it is. These are all quotes from the episode.
Probably in my trouble for.
There were some good quotes, of course, with Clyde's birthday, when they're like, it's kid's birth. It's either frosting or cum. It's a kid's birthday party. Of course it's cum.
That
was hilarious. That's what I'm saying. There was a ton of one-liners, way more than last episode.
Yeah, and just complete throwaways. I wrote one down where Randy's just flipping through TV and he's reading the descriptions and he's like, good, but dated in its view of gender norms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's the definition of a throwaway line, but it was so funny.
I read, I think it was in the AV Club article, which I generally really like their articles. They were like, it seemed like an excuse just to say the word cum. And I'm like, that's still funny. Like,
yeah, thank God we live in a world where the word cum is still funny, yeah. You know? Especially in a cartoon.
Don't take that away from us.
And just while we're sort of throwing out some of our favorite funny moments, we should make sure that we reference the priest call, which was like the duck caller, and then you blow into it, and it's a little boy saying, I love Jesus. That was pretty amazing.
They should sell that for merchandise.
A lot of priests out there.
When they send this episode out next year for Emmy consideration, there should absolutely be a priest whistle with it.
Well,
Trey and Matt, you can do that for free. You don't have to give me any credit. You just go ahead and do it.
Speaking of amazing jokes, and particularly cum jokes, in terms of the resolution and where we're getting to, they said, I don't think he's coming. Oh, he's coming. Just not here.
Just not here, yeah.
Oh, man. You can't, like, cum's just such an easy word to make fun of.
Yeah.
I don't know where, like, that's, it's amazing. But, so, I love what South Park is able to do. I think the resolution this time around is a little bit more impactful because, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I was rooting for Father Maxie. And when he drives that cum boney so sadistically and kills the cleanup crew. Bravo.
And in true South Park fashion, they make sure that we see, you know, bones crunching and guts coming out. It's like, you know, some shows would cut away. It's like, no, we're gonna really linger on that and watch what happens when you get run over by a cum boney.
It was actually one of the most satisfying endings that I can think of in South Park for a while for me.
It was a good climax?
Yeah, great climax.
It was a fantastic finish.
Because I wanted some, I was like, this is a very dark subject, and although there's been a lot of funny one-liners, I need some sort of resolution. I need something, and then we got it. Because I am Catholic, and I'm not really religious, but I wanted to see some sort of goodness come out of this. Mm-hmm. And death was it.
And, you know, Father Maxie, he will stay on as the priest, and he will take those jokes, much like Jesus took his crucifixion, because it means keeping people safe.
Which
and loved.
It's a little bit of a non sequitur, but doesn't Jesus live in that town with a call-in show? We haven't seen him in forever.
You're so right.
This would have been a great opportunity for Jesus to make a comeback. I couldn't tell you the last episode Jesus was in. I know when we were doing some countdowns, I mentioned some of my favorite Jesus episodes, but I don't know. This would have been a great time to have him, you know, come back, even if he's just taking calls on his cable access show.
He's a missionary.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Listen, the world's really messed up nowadays. He's God only knows where he is. Pun intended. What you think of them apples? All right. Let's take a quick moment of silence for Clyde's birthday. Worst birthday ever. I mean, you know, we thought it was only Kyle that didn't want a priest.
Oh, that was pretty great. It's like people don't want to hear about Jesus at a birthday party. And Butters is like, well, of course you don't want to hear about it to Kyle.
What a great little line. So good. All right. Well, we've sort of talked about the issues at hand, but we do have some news and gossip that we should probably get to.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Steph, that's all you.
Well, our news and gossip, we were going to bring up the fact that we already discussed the callback to the arm sling. So we're getting a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to touch on it really quickly. But mainly the fact that we're having so many cases of pre-sexually assaulting and raping little boys.
And girls.
And girls.
Occasionally little girls, but only when little boys aren't around.
And I don't... We're saying it jokingly, but it's one of those...
Like, it's very serious.
Yes. Well, very serious, but, like, you know, we were kind of talking about it off air, how you would... Like, it's become this quote-unquote cliche thing of, like, oh, little boys, but no... Girls,
there
are
equal. There are obviously reports of little girls, but for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to be the widespread problem. So when you take a vow of celibacy, I guess that you're taking a vow to not doing anything with any females. But you know, in your sick, twisted mind, God says it's okay to be with little boys. So you go ahead and do that.
It's just, and what's really interesting about how screwed up this is in general is the cover-ups. And we see that in this episode, which is really cool. I really like that part because it's exposing probably the worst part, not the worst part about it, right under the actual sexual assault becomes the covering up. And through the 2000s, the Catholic Church paid over $3 billion to victims across the United States, and 19 dioceses and religious orders have filed for bankruptcy as a result. So they will literally go to every means necessary other than just coming out with the truth and begging God to forgive your screwed up selves.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like, the episode made a point that it's not just priests, it's like the entire system is screwed up. How you fix that, I don't know.
But I mean, let priests date and marry.
Yes.
I mean, that would help. It wouldn't eradicate the problem, you know? And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen in other religions, but you know, in other Christian faiths, pastors get married and they have families, and they, you know, you don't hear about these. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but do you hear about widespread problems in, you know, Baptist churches or Protestant churches? It's specifically these priests who have to be men and they have to take this vow. And I don't need to tell anybody how to run their religion, as especially Trey and Matt have found out. It's not worth trying to do that. But you know, it's something to consider. And, you know, the new Pope seems like kind of a modern guy. It's maybe something that he could at least say, like, you know what? We're going to think about that. That would be a huge step, because even John Paul II would not have thought of it. He's like, oh, no, we've made enough changes. We're good.
I completely agree. There's so many moving parts to the issue, and a part of it is the fact of tradition, and the Catholic Church refuses to change its tradition, but then they're dealing with these disgusting issues. And you can't progress, and they're losing a lot of members of the church too because they haven't progressed. They like the marriage, like women can't become priests, and they're just now accepting like any sort of LGBTQ community. So that's good, but
yeah, the new Pope is like trying to be tolerant of things that you know, previous, you know, whatever happened to the last Pope? Like he's not dead. He just got kicked out of the job, and he just like hangs around. He's like Cato Kalin.
He's in OJ's house. Where did they get sent? The Maldives.
Oh, he's in the Maldives.
Yeah.
That great place. Well, I also don't think our other news story. I don't think it's any surprise that South Park got voted the number one most offensive show.
Thank God.
Across
of all
TV.
Time. I love that.
I remember when Phil sent that. What they did was they ranked. So, yeah, I actually have it. So, with 30.7%, South Park easily came in first. So, the next show is Family Guy, 10.5%. So, South Park is 20% higher. Jerry Springer, 7.1%. All in the Family, 6.4%. Married with Children, 2.7%. I'm sorry, Married with Children. You were much more offensive than that. You're at least at 5.
I would rank Jerry Springer higher than Family Guy, but that's just me.
I would rank Donald Trump number one, but that's just me.
You know, that's not a TV show. That's real life.
I know.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
But you it says, that or personality.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to focus on the TV shows. And
he's right there.
Poor Charlie Sheen. Like, what did he do?
Yes, for part two is the most...
From a porn star.
Oh.
The most offensive TV character/personality of all time. Eric Cartman wins with 18.7%. Next one kind of on there is Archie Bunker at 14.5. Peter Griffin from Family Guy comes in, you know, and then we go from there.
I always, even like when South Park first started, I always saw him as, I saw Eric as like a 10-year-old Archie Bunker, you know, and I think some characters can get away with saying things like that. And Cartman, of course, because it's a cartoon, he can literally say much worse things than Archie Bunker could say in the 70s, which oddly, he could say so much more 45 years ago than if you tried to do that show now. Archie Bunker wouldn't even be on it.
No.
Well, Howard Stern has a 1.5. Donald Trump is on there, though, 3.5.
Yeah, I thought that infographic was already up, so I thought we were doing that.
Well, yeah, we did.
Thanks to Stewie.
And by the way,
if I were President Trump, I would say that that's why you have trouble, because you don't think. That's what President Trump would say. I wouldn't say it. I'm saying that's what he would have said.
Yes, indeed. So that is our news and gossip for this week. All right. Why don't we get into some predictions for next week, shall we?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
We should just call this fan fiction.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to happen.
No. We never know what's going to happen. I think we'll get one callback, because that seems, I think that, I want more callbacks. I love when they do that. I love, like, the continuity of seasons, but I don't think we're going to get that. I think that we're going to get a more Cartman-centered episode. He was pretty not relevant this episode, but he was last episode.
I don't know that we're going to get it next week, but I think that one of these 10 episodes will definitely be a Me Too episode, and I expect that. And
that's perhaps, a great call.
Perhaps that will be when we see the return of Heidi. I don't know. Just thought it might happen. But what they would probably do is it would be a reverse Me Too, where it's, you know, it's happening to one of the boys and, you know, the girls are harassing them. Because I feel like that's the spin that, Trey and Matt would put on it.
This is just a non sequitur, but if you guys want a great commentary on the Me Too movement, the latest season of BoJack Horseman is quite funny. So get caught up. It's on Comedy Central. Just saying. Not well, the newest season.
But. Yeah, the old seasons are on Comedy Central, but the new seasons are on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And we all have Netflix. Come on. We either have it or we steal somebody's password.
That's right.
I'll give you Steph's password if you don't have one. It's I hate Steph. I'm sorry.
The only thing, this is, I wrote it on the board for us. We're only a few weeks out from Jack and Crack,
yes,
which week.
I'm really glad you mentioned
this. We are praying that they bring some sort of callback.
Please.
You know, there's only two things in life that I truly need and I want. This year, we're going balls to the wall for Jack and Crack Witch Week all week. I mean, God knows how we're going to show up to actual studio. And we're going to be so jacked up and cracked out.
As we discussed before we went on the air, Halloween is on a Wednesday this year.
It's going to be nuts.
It is. And
I'll be giving out Jack and Crack to trick-or-treaters at my house right before I come over to the studio.
It's your patriotic duty.
Yeah.
The other thing, and speaking of Butters, I really miss him standing up wieners out. You know, I thought it was such a good movement, and whatever happened to that cause, I don't know, but I let my wiener out every now and then.
It is football season. They could tie that in again.
That's true.
I don't think they will, but, you know, God bless Butters and his little wiener. All right. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say Oliver Quinn in the chat said, next episode's going to be Coon and Friends, hopefully. A lot of confidence.
Oh, my God. I love Coon and Friends. I remember last season, the like one episode I was out of town for was the Coon and Friends episode. And it was all I wanted was more Coon and Friends. So I hope, Oliver Quinn, I hope you're absolutely right. And we have Coon and Friends. Maybe every episode the rest of the season, I'll be fine with that.
That's right.
Actually, I also want one Terrence and Phillip episode. Anyway.
Yes!
That would be good. Well, let us know if you agree with us, and also if you stand up with your wiener out. Right,
yeah,
in the comment section.
Don't send us pictures.
No, they can't in the comment section.
They could figure out a way.
Ah.
They could do it with, like, emojis.
Well, speaking of that, how can they follow you?
If you want to send me any dick pics, you can send them to @ChristianDMZ
over 18.
Yeah.
Mom, please do not solicit dick pics right now.
No, I don't really want them. Twitter and Instagram and anywhere else that you feel like sending them.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Steph Zabraw. No pics, please. Just kind words.
What if they're pics of like, what they had for lunch?
Okay, that's fine. Food is fine.
Picks. Hashtag lunch pics.
They will get so creative with those food pics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to put their balls on it.
I'm at Phil Svitek. This is, of course, at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys for joining us on South Park Weekly, the after show for South Park. We will see you next time for episode 3. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.